Word of
mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Mouth. From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. For decades, people vacationing in the nation's national parks had little choice but to vacate their good eating habits. This summer, the National Park Service is aligning its menus with First Lady Michelle Obama's Healthy Diet Initiative. And visitors to concessionaires from Acadia to Zion will have options beyond soggy pizza and hot dogs. The change will result in the loss of billions of collective calories. Steve Vogel is National Staff Reporter for The Washington Post, where he frequently covers the federal government. Steve, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So what are some examples of the new healthy meals that the parks will now be offering?
Oh, they're going to run the gamut. A lot of them sound pretty fancy. You know, everything from rockfish tacos or locally grown berry yogurt parfaits to sweet potato cakes and fennel salad. Just a real assortment of foods that they'll be offering at different national parks around the country.
Sounds pretty good, but at a time where we're hearing about cutbacks to federal staff, are they hiring chefs at these concessions?
Since they are concessionaires, they're all working under contracts with the National Park Service. So it's up essentially to the private sector to provide the chefs. The concessionaires, by and large, really like this. They think that, you know, their customers, which are the people that visit the parks, have been asking for more choice in the food that's available. And nobody's really talking about this costing the parks or the concessionaires a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. What about those who do, by tradition, look forward to, I don't know, a shrink-wrapped sandwich at the park because it's tradition, or an ice cream?
Those will still be available. The Park Service was very hasty to make that clear. I think they're concerned about being called the food police or showing up to be part of a nanny state. So they made it clear that this is not taking away the hot dogs or the plastic wrap sandwiches or anything else, the pizza or the ice cream and the sodas. You can still get those. And as John Jarvis, the director of the Park Service, told me, you can drink as much soda as you want. It's not going to be the New York City attempt to ban supersized sodas. You can still buy all the pop that you would like.
Michelle Obama has been frequently criticized for being a food policer or pushing the nanny state on people's diets. Go through for us, would, if you would, some of the other diet initiatives and other endeavors that her program has spearheaded.
Well, a lot of it has been encouraging youth to exercise and to not eat so much junk food. This National Park Service initiative in some ways predated anything that the First Lady was doing. It was something that John Jarvis experimented with when he was out in the West Coast National Park Center out there, and they used that in some of the California national parks where they experimented with bringing in locally grown, local source food that had some sort of historic resonance or tie-in with the park or region, and they found it was quite popular. So when he came to Washington as a national park director, he thought it was time to try that on a national scale. And it more or less married up with the First Lady's initiatives, which she began upon her husband taking office.
Will there now be somebody working for the national parks who has to ensure that these standards are being kept up?
The way it works is they're both standards and guidelines. The standards relate to certain items being offered on menus, including, you know, low-fat, low-sodium items. And then a lot of it is going to be more making sure that customers have some choice for locally sourced products. Not every national park is going to be able to grow or have farmers in the region provide the products that are sold. But the guidelines more or less say that when feasible and when it wouldn't drive up the cost to try to use locally sourced meals. The standards are going to be written into new contracts as they are created. So no contract that exists now is being torn up to add the new guidelines.
So how about for you, Steve, a rockfish taco, or are you packing your own this year?
I tend to pack my own when I go to the parks just because, you know, you like to hike around and carry something with you. But they did give samples of the rockfish tacos down on the mall in Washington, D.C. when they introduced this in June. And I have to say they were pretty tasty.
Steve Vogel, reporter on the national staff of The Washington Post, where he frequently covers the federal government. I want to thank you for your time.
Certainly.
And you can read more on his article and some of the other menu offerings at wordofmouthradio.org. Thank you. musical Annie opens this Friday at the Prescott Park Arts Festival in Portsmouth. More than 60 dogs barked their way through an open audition for the role of Sandy, Little Orphan Annie's lovable and loyal canine sidekick. Producer Zach Nugent went to the Sandy search to get a look at the talent and a glimpse at the next big thing in little dogs.
From the top, a 5, 6, 7, 8.
The world of auditioning has always been synonymous with anxiety, stress, and that ultra-competitive hunger for the part. So it's refreshing to arrive at the Sandy auditions and see 60-plus dogs joyfully running around, wagging and slobbering uncontrollably. The only hunger here is for dog treats, which there are plenty of. Billy Butler, the director of Annie, is one of the judges for the audition.
I'm looking for that, you know, that special Spock, you know, that's something. You know, the dog with a twinkle in its eye, you know. To me, I'll really look to the owner because their personality will reflect what the dog's like, too. So.
And if these dog owners are reflections of their dogs, I don't think they have anything to worry about, for the most part.
He's very special.
Silly, goofy. He's my Rasta man.
He drills a considerable amount. He's wearing a bib. A friend of mine got it for him. It says Chick Magnet on it.
He's very outgoing. He has a great personality. At least people tell me he has a great personality.
He's usually pretty gentle. He's very friendly. Sometimes he gets a little excited, and then things tend to get broken.
She's madly in love with every other dog.
He's shy. He is a little bit of, yeah, he's a little bit of a chicken.
She's a princess. She wants everything her own way.
He's mellow and sweet and loving and very motivated by food, any kind of food.
As the auditions start, one thing becomes clear. Out of the four judges, there's one who seems to be enjoying herself a little more than the others.
Are you excited about today?
Yes!
Why?
Because, like, I get to see a bunch of dogs and I get to pet them and be so cute. And I have a dog right over there and she's adorable and now I get to see 83 dogs. Wow.
That number is debatable, but her enthusiasm isn't. This is Carly Gendel. She'll be playing the role of Annie and she's a critical part of the audition process. Each dog will be judged on how they interact with her. Do they shy away when she hugs them? Do they come when she calls them?
Come on, Jackson.
Watching all these interactions is Sue Carney. She's a local dog trainer and the resident dog expert. She was asked to help judge the competition, hopefully seeing hidden signs of greatness or potential disaster.
I think the ultimate goal is to get a dog that has a spark, as well as can handle the sparks that are around it. I think lights and singing and clapping and all the different days that the play's on, the dog has to be able to deal with all of that.
Okay, that's right.
I'm just going to go through what I really, really like. Very young but adorable is Maggie.
As the day goes on and the judges narrow down the field, spirits stay high. Even for those like Linda and Rupert experiencing the harsh reality of defeat.
Well, I think I'm feeling a little dejected. But you know what? I think I'm going to get over it. Because there was a fear that I might win, and then I'd have to actually get him there every night. And then a handler and the photos, it would just go to his head. So I think we're better off.
How's he feeling?
He feels that he wants to really play ball.
As the final round of auditioning ends, the judges huddle around, quietly comparing notes. There's only 5 dogs left at this point, but a crowd has gathered around to watch, anxious for the final announcement.
And a drum roll, please. Do you want to announce
the winner?
Do you want to announce the winner?
Yes.
Well, his name is technically not Broccoli.
His name is Buckley, but I call him Broccoli because it's way more better.
Whatever you want to call him, being Sandy may have always been his fate. Here's his owner, Gene Kane.
Well, I didn't know anything about this.
Oh, you didn't?
And Buckley comes here every day, early in the morning and at night. So we came in this morning and someone said, oh, are you here to have Buckley try out? And I said, for what? And they said, well, to be an Annie. And I said, no, but we could think about it. And I actually took my granddaughter to Annie in New York 2 weeks ago, and she came out and said, Buckley should have been the dog, and he's the next Sandy.
And if Buckley's ever feeling under the weather, he'll have an understudy. Here's director Billy Butler.
Our star is Buckley, named after, I believe his name is William F. Buckley, I believe his name is. And the other one is Whiskey. Which is great, because I believe that William F. Buckley drank whiskey.
But in all seriousness, there's something uplifting about spending a day with a bunch of happy and joyful dogs, and it washes over everyone.
It was great. Played all day with dogs. I mean, I'm really surprised at how friendly the dogs were. And like I said, you know, to all the parents of the dogs, it says a lot about them as people. It gives me a little glimmer of hope.
And for those dogs who had their sights set on the spotlight but left with their tail between their legs, there's always, well, you know.
Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun.
For Word of Mouth, I'm Zach Nugent.
Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs.
You can check out Carly Buckley and the rest of the cast on opening night this Friday. If you can't make it, there's always tomorrow. And shows will be running throughout the summer at Prescott Park. Head on over to wordofmouthradio.org for more information and showtimes. And while you're there, take a look at a photo slideshow of the auditions. Stay with us for a conversation with a performer who's a breed apart. Beatboxer, musician, comedian, and now independent film channel star, Reggie Watts. That's when Word of Mouth continues.
Cobweb!